The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
John 10:10. The thief comes not but to steal, to kill and destroy. I've come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. That's more overflowing. It's more than enough. It's more than you can handle. Really. It's overflowing abundance. Jesus came to give us that kind of abundance. And that means that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, I am going to give you more than enough for your life. He said that we're going to have rivers of living water that will flow out of us and flow out and into other people's lives. Now, if we're not living the abundant life, there's something wrong. We need to go back and look and see why we're not living an abundant life. Now, when I start talking about abundance, I am not talking about the material goods, I want you to understand, or great wealth. Okay, I don't have any problem with any of that stuff. I believe that if you handle it properly, God wants you to have it as well. But abundance in your life goes far beyond material goods. The kind of abundance that I'm talking about is living the believer's life every day. It's walking in the ways of the Lord. It's allowing Him to establish your path and walking in that path. It's hearing His voice. I've had people say to me, you mean you hear God? Absolutely, I hear God. God speaks to me. And if you don't hear God, you don't have a relationship with Him. You need to get to the place where you're hearing what God has to say to you. Because Jesus made it perfectly clear that His Father would speak to us. And our Father would speak to us. Jesus heard God all the time. And there was nothing different about Jesus hearing God and His followers hearing God. He wants us to have a relationship with Him so that we hear His voice every day of our life. And I'm not saying that you're going to hear an audible voice every day. Some people have experienced that. I don't discount that. But I know this, my experience tells me that when I get up in the morning, God is speaking to me.
Yes, sir.
Now, whether I respond to it or not is my is my choice. But God, my God is speaking to me. When I go out in the work environment, whether I'm doing church work or whatever I'm doing, my God is speaking to me.
Amen.
He's talking to me daily. Every day. And He's telling me, He's directing me, and He's speaking to me about the choices that I'm making and the things that I'm doing and the thoughts that I have and the words that come out of my mouth. Man. You know, I think God is more like a mother than He is like a father sometimes. It was my mom that was always telling me, you watch your mouth, boy. You watch your steps, son. You do this and you do that. You know? Now, I'm not trying to feminize God. I'm just trying to say that my God gently, every day, directs me so that I can do His will. And He wants that for all His people. So that's how we can have the abundant life. But we have to recognize that there's more to this, understanding this abundant life and getting plugged in and getting connected the way God wants us to, than just receiving Christ as our personal Savior. Through this message I've talked about. Well, that's nice, Mary. Did a great job. What we realize, what we've talked about, is there was a disconnect for humans. Adam and Eve did wrong in the garden. They were disconnected from God. They were disconnected on every level. They walked and they talked with God every day. They were disconnected from that. They were disconnected spiritually. They were disconnected physically. They were disconnected emotionally from God. It was a horrible thing to have happen to them. We can't comprehend that. Oh, maybe we can right now for those of us who are born again, have a born again experience and know Christ as our personal Savior. What would it be like to just all of a sudden be cut off and not have that relationship with God any longer? That's what happened to Adam and Eve. They were disconnected and mankind became completely disconnected from God. God continued to work with man, to speak to man, to make a way for man to have a relationship with him. But the original connection that we had with God was cut off. Then there was a reconnect that God established. And of course we know that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. By receiving Christ as our personal Savior, we're reconnected to God. And in my last message, I made the analogy of this church as a three-phase electrical system. And if you hook up just one phase, you'll have some electricity, you'll have some power, but you won't have it all. You have to have all three phases hooked up. And we have to be reconnected to God through the phases that God has established. Being born again is just the first step. It's a part of it. It's an important part. You can't do any of the others without it. You have to have it. It's because of the blood of the Lamb. But in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 through 3, it talks about the basic doctrines of the Bible. I'm not going to have you turn there, but I just want to share this with you. The basic doctrines of the Bible. And one of the things it talks about is baptisms. And what we recognize is that word there, that Greek word is plural. He really is talking about more than one baptism. He's talking about baptisms. The word is baptismo. It means the washing, ceremonial cleaning, being cleansed. It's taken from the Greek word baptizo, which means to be immersed. So what the scripture is telling us here is that there are three immersions that need to take place in your life. The first one is to receive Christ as your personal Savior. That's an elementary principle. Baptisms are elementary principles. God wants you to go from being grade school to middle school or to middle school to high school to a full, total spiritual doctorate degree. He wants us to grow up. That's right. And I'm not talking about theological degree. I'm talking about a spiritual doctorate degree. You don't need to go to school to receive that. You need to be schooled by the Holy Spirit to receive it. So the first baptism is the born-again experience that Jesus spoke to Nicodemus about. And we know that we receive that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So that part we know, receiving Christ as our personal Savior. I've already talked about that extensively. You know, one of the things that I recognize that growing up, even as a believer, we would sometimes watch Billy Graham crusades on television. And you know what? Billy Graham would do such an excellent job of sharing the gospel, and thousands of people would come forward. And at the end of that, then we would turn the TV off. And you know, in my mind, well, it was all done. It was said and done. But the reality is there was much more to be done. And Billy Graham crusades did a great job of following up on people, making sure people were baptized, trying to do the right things and helping people to become firm believers. But what I saw and what many of us saw was just the salvation process. And then it was done. Well, there's so much more to this salvation package that God has for us. He wants us to be connected in all three of these phases. Being born again is the first phase, and we are born again by the Holy Spirit baptizing us into the body, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. It is, and it says this, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. And that body, of course, is Jesus. So we are baptized into Jesus as our born-again experience. Now, the second baptism, of course, is water baptism. Mark 1, 4 talks about the John's baptism was a remission of sins baptism. It was a man baptizing believers for the remission of sins, for the forgiveness of sins. First of all, you have to recognize that you're a sinner. And then you can be saved from your sins. Then you can have your sins remitted or taken away. So that's the second baptism. Notice in John chapter 4, verse 1, it also talks about Jesus. It says that Jesus baptized more than John. But he didn't do it himself. He did it through his disciples. Now that's very important because we're going to find out that Jesus' baptism was a different kind of baptism. Jesus' baptism was the one that John said, the one that comes after me will not only baptize with water, but he will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. And that's a powerful baptism that believers need in their life. Here's what I want you to understand. We receive the Holy Spirit, does the baptism of when we come into the body of Christ, baptizes us into Christ. Water baptism is performed by believers, for believers. You can find that in many places in the Scripture. Acts 16, 33, Philippian jailer. Acts 18, Mark 16. It says to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and that those who believe and are baptized shall be saved. And then it tells us all the signs that are going to be, that are going to follow those who believe. So now, this morning, I want to get us into the third baptism. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism that Jesus said that he was going to bring for us. Turn with me to Mark chapter 1. Hallelujah. You are a quiet bunch this morning. Amen. Amen. Is it because you're just taking in all this wonderful word? All right, Mark chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it was written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now we know this was John the Baptist. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. Then all the land of Judah and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. Let me tell you something. Even in that day, John was a wild man. John, sometimes God calls unique personalities to do unique ministry. And sometimes people are not what we expect. You know, we expect pastors or prophets or leaders to be a certain kind of reverent and holy kind of people. Well, let me tell you something. If you would have been there those days and saw John the Baptist, you would have wondered what God was doing. A wild man living in the wilderness. I can imagine his hair was probably all over the place. His beard was growing wild. He was wearing this camel skin and a leather belt around his waist. And not only that, he had locusts in his teeth and honey breath. A biker. Oh, no, wait a minute, Jim. Listen, this was a wild man. But he brought the word of the Lord. Don't judge people based on their appearance, or even their actions. Judge them based on the Spirit of God that is emanating from them and the power of God that is being transferred from them and to God's people. Because people recognized, although this guy was a wild man, there was something very unique about him and something very powerful. He was preaching a remission of sins. Come and be baptized and be forgiven. He was laying forth the path for Jesus Christ to come.
Yes, sir.
He was establishing the way. Glory. And here, John was clothed with the camel's hair, and he preached, saying, "There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal straps I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Glory. Yeah. It's laid forth for us. It's shown right here in the scripture. John was going to baptize with water, but Jesus was going to baptize with the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
The power of God in our individual lives. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven. "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I want you to make sure that we recognize what was taking place here with Jesus. Jesus is our example. We should follow him. He did three things. First of all, we've talked about Jesus. He was perfect in all his ways. Okay? So Jesus didn't need to be born again, right? Jesus was born right the first time. He was born perfect in all his ways. So he came as that perfect vessel to die for our sins because we are imperfect. So the born again experience, Jesus was already born again. He was born right. He was perfect.
Right.
He didn't need that. However, Jesus, setting the example for us, went and was water baptized. And when he was water baptized, the Holy Spirit. Now listen to me. This is the Holy Spirit coming down, appearing to be a dove, not a dove coming down looking like a Holy Spirit. We got that, right? This is the Spirit of God descending down upon him and resting upon him and staying with him. Do you know that has never happened in the entire history of man until that point? The Spirit would come and go on people. People would receive certain callings and fulfill specific duties as the Spirit of God came upon them. But it never came and stayed with a man. Jesus set that example for us. And he wants us to know that the Spirit can come, not only come and receive the Holy Spirit in dwelling in us at the time of salvation, but he wants us to know that we can be completely and totally immersed in that Spirit. The power of God to be witnesses wherever we go and whatever we do. The power of God. The power of God living inside of us. The power of God directing us. The power of God speaking to us. So here we see exactly, you know, Jesus setting up this example for us. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 21, I already mentioned this last week. There is an example of the three baptisms. 1 Corinthians talks about it. Maybe we should go there real quick so that you can see. So the Old Testament. This is making an allusion to the Old Testament. Now, we all know, I want to make sure that everybody understands, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. Everybody realizes that? And the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. So we learn from both of them. When we go back into the Old Testament, we read and we see, oh, okay, that lines up with what Jesus did for us. God had set that example for us to be able to recognize and understand it. And then when we read in the New Testament, we say, oh, God established those laws and those principles so that we would see that when Jesus comes, he fulfills them. It's so good. It's wonderful to be able to recognize that and see that this whole Bible is for us today. Those who take just the New Testament and live by the New Testament are missing much of God's blessing in their life. And believe me, there are those who are doing that. I mean, there's whole denominations that, for the most part, that's what they do. They teach from the New Testament. But the Old Testament is part of our heritage as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all the fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 21, we see that there was a cloud by day and fire by night. Once again, if you will look at it with spiritual eyes, you will see the three baptisms. The cloud, the presence of God, baptized into Moses is what it says here. Moses is a type and example of Jesus for us. Moses was what? Their deliverer. Remember what he did? He delivered them out of Egypt. And he was told there was one who was going to come that was greater than him. Look for a prophet similar to Moses, but greater. Everyone was told that. So we are baptized into Jesus. There's the cloud. There's the baptism of Moses. Water baptism. They went through the sea. Fire was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's all through the Old Testament. It's all through the New Testament. There's all kinds of analogies that we can talk about, and I'll talk about a few more of them this morning, so that we can see that these baptisms are a part of what God has for his body. And when it comes to water baptism, I want you to understand, water baptism is an outward sign of an inward cleansing that took place in us. However, it is also very, very supernatural and very powerful in your life. You need it. And I'm encouraging you to get it. If you have not been baptized, we are going to have a baptism. Sign up for it. Please be water baptized. It's something you need. It helps you to move on from the elementary principles of God, from grade school to middle school, moving on up. Amen. Let me show you another Old Testament example of the three baptisms. We'll just talk about this. I'm not going to ask you to turn, but in Leviticus chapter 16, God gives instructions to Moses and Aaron concerning the great day of atonement. On that day, there's only one day a year that the high priest could enter in to the Holy of Holies and be in the presence of God. Now, here's what we need to understand, that was the Old Testament. People were not able to come into the presence of God because there wasn't a way for them to do that. The priest did it for them. However, the New Testament is very clear. Jesus is our high priest. The story of his crucifixion is very clear. That veil was rent in the temple. It was torn apart so that we all have access to our Heavenly Father. But this analogy here is very important for us, because the high priest could only enter in, and he had, here's the interesting things. He had so many sacrifices that he had to perform and so many duties that he had to go through on that day. And not only that, his regular priestly duties. And here's the thing, you need to remember this. He had to do it on the great day of atonement. He had to do it all by himself. He wasn't allowed to have any help. He had to do all the sacrificing. He had to do all the anointing. He had to do all the duties all by himself. just like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ had to take it all on himself. We couldn't help him. You still can't help him. I don't care how good you are or how good you think you are. You're not going to help him. It was all done by his blood, by his sacrifice on the cross, all by himself. All we have to do, hallelujah, is receive it. Receive it into our lives. So on that great day, the priest had to make himself ready to enter into the Holy of Holies. And there was an elaborate ceremony that took place. But before he could qualify to do this, he had to be consecrated and anointed as a priest in another elaborate ceremony. This ceremony took 7 days. It's important for us to understand this because in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4 and 9, it does tell us that Jesus is our high priest. So we can put Jesus in this place for us. He was anointed. And because he was our high priest, according to 1 Peter 2, 9, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are his own special people. We are. It's no longer just one high priest. We're a nation of priests. That should excite you. I mean, I recognize that some of you don't get excited about much of anything. You know, I just know you're the kind of personalities you are. You know, it's just the way it is. It doesn't matter. If I was going to say, I'm giving you $100,000 today, you wouldn't get excited. You'd just walk up and take it and be glad. Now, you'd probably be jumping inside, but you're not going to show it externally. You know, that's just who you are. But the reality is, we have these good things that have been laid forth for us by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our High Priest, and he has deposited on us the ability to be kings and priests, yes, sir. That's right. Royal priesthood. It is good news. It's exciting news. So if you're not excited, I'll get excited for you. That excites me. Amen. To know it, to understand it, to believe it, to walk in it. During these 7 days, a priest had to stay in the temple or the tabernacle. Originally, it was the tabernacle, and then eventually it became the temple. Each day, he had to do certain things to perform. He had to stay there, and you can read all about this in Exodus chapter 29. Here's what I want you to understand from it. For 7 days, the priest had to have his body washed. He could not do it himself. Others had to wash him on the outside of the temple. He had to have people come and wash his body. 7 days in a row. Cleansing of the body. You can see, you know, this is part of God's plan for man to recognize that yes, you get saved, yes, you get water baptized, yes, you become filled with the Spirit. It's a part of God's plan. 7 days he was bathed. You cannot be cleansed, you cannot be baptized by yourself. I want you to understand that. That's not the way it works. That's not the New Testament model. It's not even the Old Testament. Here's something we need to understand about water baptism. Water baptism in the Jewish culture had been around for a long, long time. John the Baptist didn't originate it. Water baptism was set aside for those who were proselytes who would come into the Jewish faith. That was two things that they had to do. One of them makes me cringe when I think about it. They had to be circumcised. Didn't matter how old the male was, he had to be circumcised to come into the faith. I'm going to tell you something. you wouldn't have had very many people doing this just for the sake of doing it. What I'm trying to convey to you this morning is that when we come into the body of Christ, we need to take this thing so serious and recognize, my goodness, this is our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords died for us. Blood was shed. And we need to live such a life to establish ourselves on the rock. I'm sorry, but there are people all over this area and all over this nation that are going to church every Sunday. They're being entertained and they're hearing a soft word that says you're okay and you're going to be all right. Just go on about your business. They're being lied to. Because the reality is we are in difficult times. You better prepare your heart for the coming of the Lord. He's on his way. Things are beginning to change rapidly. Things are changing right here in the United States. Things are changing all over the world. Economically, I don't know if we're going to survive. These are very tough times. $16 trillion in debt. And I heard the other day, if you add all the programs and things that we have committed to, it's more like $50 trillion. How do you survive that? And now the Fed is buying up secured loans from people, from banks. They're pouring $50 million a month into our economy. Now, that may not mean anything to you, but let me tell you what it's going to do. It's going to devalue our dollar. It's going to cause hyperinflation. Watch and see what happens over these next few months. These are tough times, people. Getting serious with our God is our only hope.
That's right.
Our only hope. But I know my God. I know he is my strength. I know he is my power. I know that I can rely on him, and I'm going to rely on him. I'm not going to allow the enemy to bring fear upon me no matter what comes in this world. For I look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. For those things that are seen, they're just temporary. But my God is an eternal God, and he provides eternally for his people. Amen. A good, powerful God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I didn't mean to get off on that. And each day the priest had to take a drop of blood from all the sacrifices. And he had to take that drop of blood and he had to place it on his ear. He had to place it on his thumb, his right thumb. He'd use his left hand. He'd place it on his right ear. He'd place it on his right thumb. And he'd place it on his right big toe. Now, most of the commentators that I've read in regards to this said that the right ear was that he was to hear nothing but the word of the Lord. The right thumb was that he was to do nothing but God's will. The right toe was that he was to walk in nothing but God's ways and God's word. I could do a whole sermon, a series on that. That's just good stuff for the body of Christ. And finally, there was ram's blood. It was mixed with oil, and it was poured over the head of the priest, anointing him for service as a high priest. In all this, in this, we see the cleansing, the water. We see the blood that sets him aside. We see the Holy Spirit, the oil, mingled with the blood. Because it's only because of the blood that we get the Holy Spirit. The anointing of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, it is so evident in the Word of God that God, this has been God's plan all along and is God's plan today. And the reason we need all this is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. We need that witnessing power today. We need to be able to stand up no matter what is said to us, no matter how many times we are threatened. We need to be able to stand up and say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is my King. Jesus wants to save your soul. Jesus loves you. Because there's plenty out there mocking us. There's plenty, and I'm telling you, as you see the progression of these end days, I'm seeing things beginning to take place. You know, no, I'm not going to say that this morning. I'll wait another time. Turn with me. The last evidence that I'm going to give you this morning of the three baptisms. Acts chapter 2. Now, I want you to know that I am going to wrap this message up next week, and I'm going to talk more extensively about the infilling, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, being completely and totally immersed in the Spirit. And we will pray for those who want to be receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I realize that there are, you know, that in the past there's been many things said about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's been many lies or false truths expounded about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I want you to know nothing freaky and nothing weird happens when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You may speak in tongues. Some people do immediately. But I want to tell you this. You will receive the ability to be able to pray in a prayer language. Whether you exercise it immediately or not, it will be there. Because that's a part of receiving the fullness of the Spirit. Okay. Acts 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter, now listen, they're asking Peter, what should we do? And the rest of the apostles, they talked to the apostles, Peter and the apostles. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. First of all, he said, you got to repent and receive Jesus Christ. Then you've got to be baptized in water. That's what he's talking about here. Water baptism. Baptism in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. And you shall do what? Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Baptism into the body. Baptism in water. Baptism in the Holy Spirit. All three are completely woven throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Glory. Let's just pray. Father, we just praise you and thank you for your word. We ask, Lord, that you just continue to speak to us, direct us. Help us just to see and understand and know what is right, what is good. Help us to discern, Father. There are going to be many deceivers rise up in these last days. Help us to discern truth. And we will hear your truth. We will walk in your truth. And we will be able to recognize when lies are being perpetrated upon the masses of people. Lord God, today I thank you that your power is released in this place. We receive it, we expect it, we walk in it, and we have great expectation, Father God, of what you're going to do with us in the near future. Help us to prepare our hearts. Help us to get ourselves in order. Help us to be ready, to be strong, to be faithful, and to do your work, Father. And we give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a wonderful day.
Hi, this is Pastor Rob Barber. Thanks for listening to our message today. We're excited about what God's doing here at Bethel Worship Center and in the body of Christ at large in 2012. If you'd like to learn more about the ministries here at Bethel, please visit our website at www.bethelwc.org. God bless you and have a great day.